The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Hey, Parky, we've had our off-season, we've been on holiday. The boys are back in town.
Yep.
We're ready and loaded to go. It's the very first final hooter of the season for 2015. And what a season ahead we've got coming up. I can't wait. The excitement, it's unbearable.
Did you not see me warming up and limbering up in the corridor before I came in?
You're like Fooey Fooey Moi for a minute.
I'll tell you, yeah, it's the hair as well. I'm letting it grow. Just out of a tribute.
Oh man, I'd like to see that.
I am, I'm going to let it grow, see how far we get. Until it annoys me, and then it'll be all off again. But, yeah, you're right. Rugby league is back, baby.
Bring it on.
Let's line them up.
By the way, I haven't been on holiday in the off-season. Not like Earl Cradshaw. I was speaking to him at the Super League launch in Manchester. He's been Jamaica.
Has he?
Yeah.
Well, you can't make him do anything. Surely there's only one person who can make him do something, and that's Paul Anderson.
Jamaica he's been.
Jamaica.
He didn't like it, though, so... Waste of £3,000 then.
Well, he can earn it back though.
I went to Talaca.
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 Yeah. In Wales. Was he on a rugby league spy mission?
Costa del Sol Talaca. Yeah, North Wales Crusaders are doing their off season training there. I thought I'd go and watch them on the beach.
See, yeah, I thought there would have been a reason. Anthony Murray and his boys, of course.
Without a doubt. It is Super League 20. I'm not being funny, right? I can't believe we're into 20 years of summer rugby league, by the way. I was in the camp of definitely 3-4 seasons back to winter rugby league, but how wrong am I?
I think it was one of those, isn't it? Nobody really knew how it was going to go, and I remember back in the day, we'd just come off quite a poor winter, hadn't we? So for us then to move over to a summer competition and everybody to play virtually 18 months regular rugby league back to back, I think it was one of those where nobody was really sure quite how it would go. Was it going to be a gimmick like a lot of things in rugby league world, or were they going to stick with it? And hey, we're 20 years down the track, there's no going back now, I don't think, Adrian.
Certainly not too much money being invested. The time has come, as it's been branded. Time for a new era, we've had that one. What's the other strapline? Every minute counts.
Every minute matters.
Yeah, that's the one. Still can't get my head around it.
Well, you've just created another one.
Seriously, between now and November, I'll have that many variations. I'll have to write a book on them.
You've just created another hashtag there. Every minute counts.
Right, the man with the brains behind the new era for rugby league was Blake Solly. And our man Steve Mallon caught up with Mr. Solly to get his thoughts about the season coming up, basically.
Well, Blake Solly of the RFL, the Super League. Long time planning. We're only a few days away from the new era.
Yeah, it's fantastic to be so close to the start of the season. It's been a long time coming. It's been a long off-season. We're very, very excited about what we've been able to achieve in the off-season. Obviously, with the new launch video having been seen by a million people, that's highly exciting and impressive. So I think we're in for a great year. Our clubs have been extremely active in the off-season. Looking to strengthen their squads as they go into a season where I think they've realised that every minute of every game in every competition is going to matter, and therefore they have to be stronger than they ever have been before.
And I know every side at the beginning of the season think that they're going to win it or they're going to finish in the top eight, but there's still that incentive for everyone. I mean, there's always going to be a few clubs who think we're going to prove everybody wrong.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's the great thing about this new structure, that I don't think anyone could hand on heart say that they can accurately predict the winner of the competition. That's what makes our sport so much better than other competitions. When you compare us with some other competitions where pretty much you know that there'll be three teams who'll be fighting for the champions tag, I think we're very different in rugby league. There's anyone of six, seven or eight teams who could fancy their chances this season. When we went to the clubs with the new structure a bit over 12 months ago, we did say that this would be commercial benefit for the sport, and I think it has. I think there's no doubt about it when you look at the family of partners we've got at the moment. They're growing all the time. They're loving their involvement in the sport. We're giving them fantastic value for their investment, and I think they recognise that this season's going to be something special.
I like it. A family of partners.
Yeah, it's an interesting way of saying about you've got quite a lot of sponsors now, isn't it? And I know that a sponsor's just renewed, hasn't they? Isuzu, I think. Is it the truck firm?
God, you said that.
Just renewed. It's a partnership with the Rugby League.
I struggle with Scolder. They still make Scolders.
They do. They do. They were being advertised at cinema the other day when I went.
It is good to see companies looking to invest in the game, and that's the way forward, isn't it? Try and generate more revenue.
Well, it is, it is.
For me and you, never mind the players and the game.
I think also in having a structure as well, this is a structure that people can buy into. I know it took you a couple of months to get your head round it, didn't you? You know, on about how a league can split and four teams go down into another league and whatever. But I think once we actually get into playoff rugby, I actually agree with the strap line. I think that every minute of every game will matter during that 8-week period.
Should be exciting.
I think so.
Fingers crossed. Anyway, let's just look back on last season. What do you think of it? Did it live up to its expectations? Was it as competitive as they have been over the last few years?
I thought it was a good season, in fairness. It was one of those where come within 3 or 4 weeks at the end of the season, there was about 4 or 5 clubs who were all in with the chance of lifting the league leader's shield. And to be honest, in Super League, nobody wanted it. There was a few daft losses which teams came up with. Eventually, St Helens emerged victorious. And then St Helens went on and lifted the Super League trophy. That probably wasn't the greatest game on earth. But overall, from a Super League point of view, I did think that the season was a success if you're looking at the top eight. Obviously, if you're a London fan or you're a Bradford fan, it was definitely anything but a success in fairness. But then if you look further down the rugby league chain, in the championships you had Lee, who invested rather heavily on a squad and ended up with a record breaking season that only saw them lose 2 games over their entire campaign, one of them against Leeds Rhinos in the Challenge Cup. And Leeds, of course, ended their drought in that competition by lifting it particularly well. I thought they played well against Castleford, but that seemed to bowl their season over them because they never regained any sort of structure after that, unfortunately. But that can happen. It's happened to the best of sides. It happened to Leeds. And, I'm sure they'll be back big and strong for this year. And obviously, we've not mentioned Hunslet as well. Hunslet did really, really well. That was perhaps the most exciting game of the lot when it came to final football last year because it went into extra time and they were the ones to pip Oldham. But, you know, spur of thought for Oldham because they've been in that position more times than I'm sure Chris Hamilton, the chairman there, would like to admit. And I hope that they can get up this year.
Yeah, we've lost London Broncos and Bradford Bulls in the Super League this year, so we get a first taste of relegation, but promotion relegation back on the agenda in Rugby League, and it'll be interesting to see who's going to participate in the £1 million game. You spoke about St Helens winning the grand final. Now, they did that under the guideship of Nathan Brown.
Yeah.
Right. Now they've got a new coach at the helm. It's Kieran Cunningham, rugby league legend, and Steve Manningcore talked with him to get his views of the forthcoming season. Let's hear from him.
It sort of seems so real now, doesn't it? After that pre-season, we've been tough, we've been working hard, and you have a couple of trial games, and then all of a sudden it's here, it's upon you, and then work's got to start. So players are really looking forward to it. They're all in good shape and they're in good spirits, and I've got a good group of players to support me and look after me, so it'll be pretty good.
And touching on those friendlies, they've both been competitive friendlies. Are you happy where you are?
I'm happy where the players are. I'm really happy. We played that first game against Widnes and we looked like a team that hadn't played for 12 months, which, rightly so, that's how it should be. And then you come to the second week against Wigan and the boys, it looked like a different team that took the field, and the improvement was good enough for me to be convinced that what we've been doing in pre-season was the right thing.
And those little things that, as a coach, you see and do to get that little bit of an edge, and perhaps we as media don't see, are they all working out how you wanted them to?
Yeah, I've got a philosophy of which way I want the players to play and how we want to play as a club, so you know, the players are buying into that, and they look quite good when they're buying into it and when they're playing that way. So no, it'll be good. It's a long season and you probably rotate the squad a lot, and a lot of players will probably pull the same jerseys on this year, but we're happy where we're at.
And the concept, are you aware what you've got to do now on these first 23 and then the next 8, apart from not knowing who you're playing in the next 8 and when?
Just try and win as many of them that you can win and do your best and try and get in that top 8 and then try and be involved in that top 4, and if you're involved in that top 4, you've got a good chance of winning the grand final. if you're not involved in that top four, then I've not done my job.
No, you haven't. And it'd be interesting to see how Saints go under Kieran Cunningham.
Yeah, I mean, he was always one of those where he's revered, isn't he, by St Helens fans. A real classic player for them, and I think will certainly be mentioned in the same breath as other club legends such as Alex Murphy's and that type of stuff. I think he really was a very, very good player. It will be interesting to see how that translates into his coaching. He's been on the coaching books there at St Helens for a couple of years, so he served a bit of an apprenticeship there, but it's his first season in the big job, and like you said there, he's already under quite a bit of pressure, because if that team doesn't make the top four, then he's not done his job. But I just loved how he answered that, because Steve was trying to blind him with science about this new format, wasn't he?
Confused me when I was listening to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't take much to get you confused. To be honest, most of the time it doesn't take much to get me confused either, but you know, he just said, listen, we've just got to win as many as we can. I think if every coach takes it like that, then you know, we're in for a good season.
That's the gist I got. I was putting a similar kind of question to the players and coaches as well at the launch about have you thought about the new format, have you got your head around it, and they were basically saying, we've had a look at it, but it's just one game at a time, we've just got to make sure we are where we want to be.
Well, I mean, it's certainly an approach,
and worry about the format if they're involved in the middle eight.
It's certainly an approach that works for a number of clubs last season. I know that Lee always spoke about only taking it one game at a time, so you know, maybe they're adopting the Lee mentality and everybody's going to go and have a one-week at a time job in rugby league this year.
Well, Kieran Cunningham might be in his first year as a coach in Super League, but Brian McDermott, he'd been there a few years, hasn't he? And probably at the minute, he's probably Super League's longest-serving coach at Leeds, isn't he? Have I got my stat right?
Well, he's certainly been in post since 2011, you know, which is long quite enough. A long time, isn't it? When you consider that in that time, I think St Helens have had three coaches, haven't they?
And 26 at Hull and 15 at Hull KR, yeah. Only joking, by the way.
A couple at Castleford as well in that time as well. But yeah, in fact, just looking
probably
at...
Probably Tony Smith has probably pipped him for that.
I think so. Well, to be honest, I mean, he's
but
been...
But he has had a spell at London as well.
He has. Brian McDermott, he's actually been in charge of a Super League club since 2006, which is when he went down to Harlequins, as they were then. And interestingly enough, he's got a 62% win rate at Leeds as well. So
and the fans don't like him for some reason.
They don't, and yet he's lifted every trophy that there is to lift virtually, hasn't he, in his tenure?
Right, let's hear from the man in course up with him. Here he is.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's, I mean, you get excited this time of year anyway due to the fact that you've not been competitive with it, any other team for a number of weeks. But I'm really interested and I'm fascinated about how the new format, the new league's going to take place. So the fact that we play 23 league rounds, regular league rounds if you like, before judgments are made, you know, before we go into the top eight, which ultimately then goes into the top four. The knock-on effect of that is that I think everybody has to have their house in order a hell of a lot earlier in the season than probably what we've all been used to.
And going into your opening game, you've had your pre-season, do you think that your house is in order, as you put it?
Well, we'll certainly find out. We'll find out. Nobody can tell, can they? Everybody's in good shape in pre-season, unless you've had an unlucky run of injuries in pre-season. Everybody feels confident this stage of the year, and you know, I'm no less or more confident than I am for any other season. But I do know that the judgments are going to be made, not by anybody else, but just by the state of the competition, how it's run, the structure of it is. We're going to get judged earlier in the season. Now, if we're not where we need to be by round 10, under the old format, we had 17 more rounds to get that right. Well, we've only got 13 more rounds this year to get that right by that scenario. So it brings a sharper focus to how we start off the season than it ever has done. Everybody's attention will be at the top end of the tree, won't it? You know, come the business end of the year. But for the first time, there's going to be a real interest. And I think, again, I use this word fascinating. I think it's going to be fascinating to people. There'll be a fascination in how, when there's a breakaway of the top eight going to their own playoff series, the bottom four Super League teams pretty much twiddle the thumbs until the following year, didn't they, when playoffs started. Well, this year, the bottom four of Super League then have to play the top four in the Championship, the division below, to find out and battle it out who's going to stay in Super League. And that in itself... that's going to provide a hell of a lot of interest. I think that will provide us, you know, a fair amount of interest, if not equal interest, to who's going to be grand final winners at the end of the year.
From Arnold's point of view, you're expected to be in that top eight, perhaps even at the top four, even at the top. Does that put any added pressure on you with this new system, Brad?
No, not at all. No. you couldn't add any pressure anywhere to what our own expectations are. But I think for those teams, without trying to sound elitist, for those teams that are expected each year to finish in the top four and top echelons, you know, that remains the same. As I said, if there is any difference, we need to be a lot better, a lot earlier, and be in better shape early in the season, probably than what we ever have had to be.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think Brian McDermott's done his homework in the off-season, because he certainly knew what he was talking about then.
He obviously showed why he's highly thought of as a coach by the Leeds board, because, you know, he was asked that question and he just pinpointed the answer, didn't he? And it was so concise and he knew exactly where things were. And I really like the fact that he has said, and he's thrown it out there, hasn't he, to other Super League clubs, you've got to put your house in order, especially over the first 10 games. There is a massive focus on the first 10 games of this coming season, because everybody wants to get away to a good start. You can't be 10 games behind when you get ready to that, because as Brian was saying, you've not got as many games to pull and try and bridge that gap. So I really liked that interview. I thought that he spoke a lot of sense, and it's no wonder that Leeds always challenge up at the top of the table, is it?
Didn't get their hands on the trophy last year, can they do it this season?
All the players are 1 year older, aren't they? It's one of those. But to be fair, they're a very settled squad. So I know they've made a few changes. Ian Kirk's gone. Ryan Bailey's gone. They've only brought in one player, in fact, in Adam Cuthbertson from Newcastle Knights to replace them. Jamie Peacock's gone on record in saying it's his last year. But then again, they've got the exciting talents of young Ash Golding coming through, who played for England Academy in the close season. And to be honest, he's featured in every friendly which Leeds Rhinos have played so far this off-season.
They've got a great backline, haven't they? They just seem to be a bit weak in the pack.
I don't know whether you can actually say it's weak. They're just getting long in the tooth, aren't they? You know, and it's about how they manage that. They've got some young players coming through. Like Brad Singleton's been there a couple of years now. Elliot Minchella is another forward that has a bit of history to come for him. And Andy Yates as well. We didn't see much of him when he signed from Hunslet, but he looks like he's a good prospect too.
Cracking game to kick off Super League 20. It is Widnes versus Wigan. And Steve Manning caught up with Dennis Betts.
Yeah, it's a real honour for the club, for the team to be opening Super League against such massive opponents in Wigan. So yeah, we're looking forward to the start of the year. We're looking forward to opening Super League and hopefully putting some points on the board pretty early.
What can the Widnes fans expect from yourself on that night? A
massive amount of effort from us. As you see from our pre-season games, we're in a real good place at the moment, but pre-season games are just to get you to the start line. When you get there, it's about your attitude and about that determination. There's going to be a lot of emotion on that night. Like I say, the cameras are going to be there. It's a big kick-off, and you know what Wigan are going to bring with the physicality, and you know it's going to be a very, very tough encounter. See if it gets its composure early, finds its rhythm quickly, will be the team that probably comes out on top.
You'll be talking progress rather than where you're going to finish.
No, you have to start quick. I think the new format means that you've got to start winning, and there's no easy games. It's a tough start. We got Leeds the second week, and then we run into Wakefield, Huddersfield and Warrington. I say, you look at the fixtures and you know there's no way you can actually take anything for granted or ease into anything. We've got to start, we've got to get points on the board, and we know that's going to release away our anxiety and give us a chance to actually keep getting better.
And your close season signings, are you happy with them?
Yeah, massively happy. I'm really, really happy with the way that Chris Clarkson, Manafakola's gone, the way that Jeremiah's gone. I'm really, really pleased with the way that everybody's added to the squad. And Gil coming in 3 weeks ago was really, give us a boost.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
We are talking Rugby League on the Final Hooter. We just heard from Dennis Betts. They had a great season last year. Pressure on them to try and produce it again, isn't it? Or go one better.
I don't know whether they can. There's a lot of teams that seem to have improved and a lot of teams that have signed.
Well, but witness that, they've got Gil Dudson on board, Chris Clarkson, looked very strong in the park, Manica Fowler.
Aaron Hiramayer as well.
Exactly, a bit of trickery there. They've still got the skills of Brown and Miller. But so dangerous with them.
I still get the feeling that they rely too much upon Kevin Brown. If Kevin Brown gets injured in the first couple of matches, who's going to come in? Because I tell you what, they've only got the backup of like Gilmore and Miller, haven't they? And in fairness, injury tends to get in the way of both of those players.
Okay, going to move along very quickly. We're going into Rugby League Street now. It's new for 2015. Here's the guys talking about Marwan Kukash.
I'm Kieran Makin, I'm joined by Robert Lee, Chris Stark, Drew Derbyshire. This week we're looking at Dr. Marwan Kukash. He says he wants a salary cap raise. Let's go, boys.
The salary cap's put in place for a reason. You can't just go around and raise it. It's just because it doesn't suit him, because he wants to sign God knows who. He's got Kevin Locke, he's got Gareth Hawke, he's got Adrian Moyes. He's just signing in players. You know, if Wigan did that, they'd quickly get on their backs and say, look, you can't be signing all these players. You've got to, you know, Centelli did it as well.
Yeah, you know, it's there for a reason, like you said, and its purpose is to, like, get a bit more of a level playing field, because so rugby doesn't want to go the same way as football, where, you know, it's like in football, obviously you get your Manchester City's, Man United's and Chelsea splashing all the cash, and you just get your Burnley's not spending any money. You know, rugby league has that over football, in fact that there is a more balance between the spend, obviously because of the salary cap, and that's what makes it more appealing to some people.
It works both ways as well, like you mentioned, that if it does get raised, Wigan are going to be able to attract more better players than like Salford.
I'll put it to you this way: you're an Australian player. You're not playing for Parramatta. You're not playing for Cronulla. You want to make it into Super League. The salary cap's been raised. But I want Kukash approaching you and say, "Look, I'm going to pay $1 million for you to come up to you." Or Wigan Warriors are going to come up to you and say, "All right, I'll pay $900,000 for you, but our name's Wigan Warriors and not the Salford Red Devils. Who are you going to play for?" I've got to admit, if I came from Australia, I'd be looking to play for Leeds Rhinos, Wigan Warriors, St Helens and Warrington. They're the four biggest names in Super League at the moment. I'd be looking to play for them.
I don't think raising the salary cap's a good idea, to be honest, because it's not like when clubs get relegated from Super League this year, clubs who haven't got much money like Wakefield, if they got relegated this year, they'd struggle massively, because it's not just like you get bonuses just for being in Super League, and when you get that bonus taken away, sometimes the club actually might not be able to cope with it, so they might even go into administration and stuff like that, and the salary cap's there for a reason, and it's to put the clubs in stability.
At the end of the day, you can see where he's coming from, because Kukash does have some sense, because he does want the Super League to become more and more attractive, because you look over the years, some massive names have left Super League to go and play in Australia. Sam Tompkins is a prime example. But don't want them all going to Australia. It's potentially better ways of trying to counter that. Salary cap could be one, but I'm not quite sure.
If you're going to be raising the salary cap, you've got to do it in a certain way, because if you just take it away like football, you've got how many teams that compete for the Premier League area? You've got your Chelsea, you've got your Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United, Man City. It's five teams. Super League can't afford for it just to be five teams. You can't afford for it to, you know, at the moment, there's Wigan, St Helens, Leeds, Warrington and Huddersfield who are all up there.
So if they're Catalan as well.
And Catalan as well. You can't afford for it just to become five teams select year after year, because teams lower down the leagues will just get bored. You like Lee Centurions, you like Keith Lee Cougars, will just get fed up and just won't want to play anymore.
Well, you just look at Castleford. Like, they probably don't have a massive budget, but last year they did extremely well, you know, and that's what you want. You want that competitiveness throughout the league. Anybody can beat anybody.
Came down to the last game, they almost won League of Shield with arguably not one of the top.
The weakest team in the top eight was one win away from getting into the top two.
Drew mentioned as well, it's like linking it with the football system. You were on about Burnley, they can't afford as much as Chelsea. The salary cap's there to sustain clubs as well, give them more chance of surviving in a financial. If rugby league went all global money like football did, it'd ruin a lot of teams. Look at London Broncos; they went into money trouble, obviously, and they've ended up getting relegated.
But just to go back, if they do remove the salary cap, and they had done only a few years ago, only say 4 years ago, people would have gone away and bought players, bought wingers, bought standoffs. That means you wouldn't have had players like Joe Burgess, Josh Charnley, Zach Hardacre coming through youth systems and just making a name for themselves straight away.
Well, the thing that you just pointed on there is because of the restrictions of money and spending on players, it does breed the opportunity to...
For youngsters.
Yeah, for the youngsters to come through. And that's what you need for a good England team.
Well, if Kukash has got all this money and he can't spend it on big players, like, well, he already has. He's brought in some like big Super League names like Morley and Hawk, and you mentioned before. But why doesn't he invest it and create some really good facilities for a really put a really good youth academy in place, yeah. So he'll have that future sustainability.
Well, you look at Manchester City, because obviously their financial fair play regulations, they've now gone and spent a heck of a lot of money on that facility for developing players. Imagine if Salford had something like that. Just imagine the production line they could potentially have in 5-10 years. They could be producing their own team year on year.
But there is one thing you could do, and I've had this idea before. If you home grow players, so you bring in your Johnny Lomaxes, your Adam Swift, your Tommy Makinson, if you bring in them players, they don't count towards your salary cap. So if you home grow a player, they've come through your academy, they do not count towards your salary cap. Therefore, you have more money to spend on your Kevin Locks, your Jared Ains, your Sean Johnsons. You can bring in them quality players.
Topical debate on Rugby League Street. Well done, guys. They were talking about Marwan Kukash, and he's, should they increase the salary cap and have marquee signings?
I think it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because the lads there, they raised the point about players going across to Australia and that talent drain. But I think the other side of things, and what we've got to be a little bit more conscious of, is actually rugby union, because they seem to be making a beeline and trying to poach the best players that are playing rugby league at the moment. I have to admit, I'm not a particularly fan of it. You know my views and the fact, yes, that, you know, if players move down under or they go to play rugby union, it opens up a gap for somebody else. There will always be somebody else who will get promoted. It will mean that clubs will look towards the youth policies anyway, in my opinion.
I don't think the marquee signing is going to go away. I think Marwan Kukash jumped on it when it was announced that Young Burgess is leaving Wigan for Australia at the end of this season.
Yeah, I think it's just one of his bugbears, isn't it, with rugby league. And yeah, he's got several as Marwan, but I love him as a character, to be honest. I think when he talks about the game, he talks about it with such passion that people listen. He opens his mouth and it's a page in a newspaper somewhere. So, you know, he's every bit a value for the sport. And I'll disagree with him on this one, but I tell you what, I wouldn't change him for the world.
Okay, we had the guys talking about Marwan Kukash on Rugby League Street. Steve Mann caught up with the head coach, Yestin Harris.
Yeah, excited. You know, I think pre-season is a time where you do a lot of the hard work and you put things in place to allow you to be genuinely excited for the season. And if you've done that hard work and you've not cut corners and you've made sure you've done the right things in that pre-season, it allows you to have that excitement, and that's what we are. You know, it's a fantastic season ahead of us, and one that we're really looking forward to. It's, you know, there's going to be challenges, there's going to be difficulties along the way, you know, but when you've done your preparation right, it should allow you to deal with them along the way. We feel as though we've got a feel of stability within our group, and you know, we have had a larger turnover of players than some of the bigger clubs, but you know, we've got that feel of stability within our group, and that's something you need. If you want that consistency, you need the stability, and that's what we're hoping to achieve in the next 3, 4, 5 years is to keep the stability right, and you know, hopefully that'll breed consistency for us. We're hopefully now in a place with the work that we've done in the off season that, you know, things are starting to become habits for us, and that's very, very important when you put under duress and you put under stress against the big teams, that, you know, you have to be able to do it naturally, and, you know, hopefully we're starting to get into a place. There's still a lot of work to do, and you know, your proof will be in the pudding when you play the big teams, but we'll find out pretty quickly in round one.
And you've got to start off really well, because last season there was the top eight to aim for, and no disrespect, if you didn't finish in it, all right, you didn't finish in it, but now you've got to finish in it so that you don't drop down to that middle eight. Are you confident that the Devils can get in that top eight?
Well, you know, I think it's very important to get a strong start. You know, I think every club will be looking to do that. I think there's going to be a lot of intensity at the early stages of Super League this year, whereas perhaps in the past it's been a steady build-up where there's not too much pressure on teams early on, but I don't think that's the case now. And, you know, we've got to make sure that we get the right start in the first 9-10 rounds to give you a position then where you can build on, and you don't want to be chasing your tail early in the year.
You don't, do you? And it's all about starting well. So for Red Devils, with all the money invested last year, a lot of expected from them, wasn't it? Never really materialised. Yestin Harris has come in, improved in the back end of the season. He's had his first full pre-season with them. Can they achieve what they hoped to have achieved last year this season?
I think it all depends on one man. It depends on Michael Dobson, doesn't it, and how he forges his halfback partnership with Ranky Chase. I think that together they have the potential to be the best halfback pairing in Super League. Will it work out that way, though? I don't know. They've got some solid pack members now, and obviously they've brought in the likes of Scott Taylor on loan from Wigan, who's a big fella who can do a job in Super League. But I still see them as being, you know, somewhere bottom end of the top eight, top end of those four clubs that'll probably drop out of Super League and play in the qualifiers.
It'd be interesting to see how they go. I actually do think they're going to make the eight, but I'm not too sure what final position. I'll work that one out tomorrow before we have kick-off at Widnes against Wigan. But one big enigma, easy to say, isn't it? And that always frustrates people about within Rugby League is the disappointments of what goes on East Yorkshire.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one, isn't it? Both of those clubs have gone through a succession of coaches, as you alluded to earlier in the show, and you know, the turnover of players in both of those clubs as well.
Because the fan base is there, isn't it? The interest is there, the passionate, the money's invested.
Yeah,
they just never produce it on the field.
They've got the amateur set up in the city as well, too, which you'd think could actually, you know, foster four or five clubs, never mind just two. But for some reason, they don't seem to be knocking on the door at the moment of the top four, do they? They seem to be hanging on the coattails of the top eight, and have they bought in enough quality to enable them to both push forward? Have they got the right men in charge? I don't know. I'm guessing these are questions that we'll have answered as the season goes on.
I'm sure these coaches are going to answer some of them questions. Let's hear from Chester Radford. Sounds like a new Australian signing for them.
He does, yeah. Halfback.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's a, you know, it's a big challenge. You know, it's a lot of pressure. But you know, I'm more than confident going into this season, and you know, we've signed some exciting players: Ken Seo, Albert Kelly, Maurice Blair, Terry Campisi. You know, we've signed some decent players from England as well. So it's a season that I'm really looking forward to.
Because of circumstances, you came in probably three quarters through last year. So has that helped of how you want to approach it? Because you've had players there, and then you can bring your own theories in, perhaps, in this close season.
Yeah, definitely. It's you know, I've had 9-10 weeks, you know, of putting things in place that, you know, that I wanted to put in place, and you know, the back end of last year has put me in good stead. You know, it were a tough 7-8 games that you know, that we had to go through, and that's why we needed the changes at the end of the season. You know, we've made the changes that, you know, for the better of the club, and I'm more than confident going into this season. You know, people like Terry Campisi and Albert Kelly have only been in the country for 4 weeks. Mitch Allgood is the same, and Maurice Blair. So yeah, it's going to take some time bedding in. You know, we're a bit rusty with the ball, but going into the Leeds game, there'll be no excuses. We'll have had a good six weeks of preparation.
Doesn't get any easier playing Leeds, does it? But like you say, you've got to kick on straight away, because after 23 rounds, there's 8 in and there's 4 not.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Leeds are the benchmark. You know, they've been probably the most consistent side over the last 5-6 years. You know, it's something that we want to strive for. And it's massively important we get off to a good start. There's fewer games to catch up this year, and you know, we'll be focusing all our energies on getting off to making sure that February is a big month for OKR.
You've got ambitious fans, you've got an ambitious chairman, and it's you're an ambitious club. What can they expect, the fans?
Excitement. I think, you know, we like I said before, we've signed some exciting, you know, some quality players. You know, we've got young Kieran Dixon as well. You know, we've got some speed this year. It's probably something that we've not had for the last 4 or 5 years. And you know, we've got players that can create things out of nothing. So yeah, you know, I think what the fans and we'll see this year is a lot of excitement. And you know, like I said to the boys, all the fans want to see is effort every week. If we can put in, you know, if we're putting effort every week and we're consistent, then you know, the results will look after themselves.
Well, Lou Radford, the Hull FC coach of the Black and Whites, your thoughts going into this new season, your second one in charge?
Yeah, obviously, you know, anticipation now and looking forward to it. Preparation has gone as well as we could expect, and you know, probably like most coaches, they'll all tell you it's gone really well. And I suppose the acid test now is you know, over the next couple of weeks and see where we're at, obviously, when we hit the field with regards to the friendlies. We've we've looked okay when we put our nucleus of players on that will be participating at Huddersfield. The 40 minutes against Hull Kingston Rovers, and you know, although it be York, the 80 minutes against York, we looked pretty fluent. So we've just got to hope that that continues and runs into the Huddersfield fixture.
And given your experiences coming into the club as a coach last season, has that made it easier in relation to the planning for this year's campaign?
Definitely. If you stop adapting, then you probably, it's the game probably overtakes you. So I've had to change one or two things, and you know, hopefully for the better.
Every club will be wanting to get into that top eight, yourself included. But it's going to be a big job, is it? Not just for you, but for everybody.
For everybody, and I think, you know, it's one of them when the fixture list came out. You know, I looked at the first four fixtures and really tough start, and then, you know, I looked at the next four and Jesus, gets even tougher. So it's, I think, you know, what it's done is siphoned the, one or two clubs out, and the quality of the clubs that remain in there has certainly stepped up, and it's going to be a really tough ask.
And you've touched on the fans, the expectancy season in, season out at Hull FC.
The support that we have, the stadium we're playing, when we're spending cap, there is always expectations today, right? You know, rightly so. We're just hoping, you know, with the group that can crack that expectancy. That'll be really nice.
Would be really nice to see whether Hull FC can achieve what they're hoping to achieve, but I don't think they will.
No, I think that both of those Hull clubs, to be honest, will be fighting the way out in that qualifiers section.
Right, we're quickly running out of time. We've not even mentioned Wigan, Warrington, Castleford, Huddersfield. How dare we miss those teams off? We missed anyone in Wakefield.
Yeah, and well, we can just mention them in a future podcast, it's all right, and a future show, it'll be great. Yeah,
I'm sure they'll do okay.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it next time.
We just wound it up in one go. They'll do okay.
Yeah. Some will be challenging up at the top, a couple of them will be struggling near the bottom.
Thank you very much to our man Steve Manning, who's very busy getting all those interviews for us at the Super League launch. That was nice of him. Allow me to put my feet up and drink tea and keep warm in that cold warehouse where they had it in Manchester.
Yeah, you was telling me it was a bit of a bit. It was like being in a fridge, wasn't you?
Yeah, it was warmer in the fridge. As everyone who went to the Rugby League Rocks event on the evening would be able to tell you. Well, they had to dance to Reverend and the Makers to get warm.
Really?
Yeah, they were very good.
Okay, so group to look out for as well then.
Now, Super League may have not had lift-off just yet, but the road to Wembley started. It's 40 amateur teams, wasn't it, and community clubs who started the first round of the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup, by the way. And David, you've got the winners of those rounds.
I have, yes. Hunslet Warriors got through, as did Wathbrow Hornets, Hull Dockers, Kells Elland, Ulton Raiders, Siddle, Normanton Knights and Skirler. The other winners were West Hull, Lock Lane, Walney Central, Egremont Rangers, Valley Cougars, Rochdale Mayfield and the Royal Navy. There's still a couple of games which will take place between Nottingham and Blackbrook, Featherstone and Queens and Shawcross and York Acorn, and the game that we were at, Adrian.
Cracking game, wasn't it? And didn't know a lot about South West London Chargers against Widnes West Bank, but the Chargers really put Amateur Rugby League in London on the map. We were real...
It was a gutsy effort, wasn't it?
Gutsy effort.
Real gutsy effort.
Performance. Just come up short against a far superior amateur team from Widnes.
Well, I don't know how we can say it's a far superior amateur team, because they only just nipped it, didn't they?
There's a couple of ex-pros in the West Bank ranks. There was none in the London ranks.
There was a couple of ex-pros, but I think you're doing them a bit of a disservice there, just because of your geographical nature and having come from that town, because you only had to walk 2 minutes from your house.
It was great.
It's the closest trip you've done.
I don't know where it was colder, that pitch on Saturday or the warehouse in London or in Manchester on Sunday.
Oh, well, I have to admit, it did take plenty of time for me to defrost, as you'll hear in the next bit.
Rugby League might be a summer sport, but the road to Wembley's already started here in Widnes at the end of January, start of February.
Oh, I tell you what, glorious day. Marvellous. Absolutely marvellous. Yeah. Winter Rugby League, let's bring it back. No, I tell you what, I'm just about defrosting. We're about 5 minutes after the game, and I tell you what, we're a tough encounter. Those Chargers from London, they really did come to do a job on the Widnes West Bank, didn't they?
Yeah, a lot's mentioned about the Standard Rugby League in London, isn't it? Not a lot is known about it up in the heartland, but the Chargers really flew the flag for the capital, didn't they?
Yeah, I certainly thought so. I thought they put Widnes West Bank under plenty of pressure. They forced a lot of errors. They made a lot of errors themselves, but obviously it's early in the piece for them as well, isn't it? So I think that the future's bright for rugby league down in London. This is the standard that they're coming to, because, you know, West Bank themselves have a couple of ex-professionals, McDermott at hooker, Durbin at halfback, you know, so these are lads that know how to play, aren't they?
Without a doubt. 40 teams are starting the journey, aren't they? And it'd be interesting to see how many of them guys who've started the journey get to the stage where the pros come in.
Yeah, I do sort of wonder. I bet that certainly Widnes West Bank will be very, very impressed. I think they'll be happy to have got through, and I think that they'll have a sneaky look to see what the future holds. And you never know, maybe it's a professional team.
Right, let's hear from the winning coach, Ricky Hughes.
It was a good game all over, like you say. Two teams not playing much rugby this year, like you say, so it's the first run out for both of them. Forwards really good for London, thrived well, pushed us hard to the last couple of minutes, to be honest with you. We had our chances, and like you say, we bombed a few of them, but forget it was any one game and it could have went either way. So a great game, and well done to West Bank.
The team effort, who's a standout performer for you guys?
Yeah, there was a few, to be honest with you. There was about four or five. A couple of the forwards held up well, like Sean Mack, he had a great game. Ryan Bates, till he got injured, like you say, good arse with Steve Mack. Ryan Millings in the forwards, and then in the back line you're talking a couple of them, Jamie, Tommy. There's a few lads who had a great game, and like you say, it's a whole team's performance.
Well, great conditions out there, pretty tough, wasn't it?
No, yeah, it was. Like you say, we inspected, they had a 6 o'clock morning inspection, and like you say, we were 50-50 then, and then, like you say, loved enough. It was a bit heavy for us, but like you say, great game of rugby.
What do you make of the Chargers?
Yeah, great side, yeah. A lot stronger than what I thought, to be honest with you, because like you can't really look at them because they don't play in a big sort of league. So, like you say, we didn't know what we'd expect, but to be honest with you, if anyone could have won that game, the forwards and the backs were really good for London, and they played well. It was either way.
He mentioned it, didn't he? It's a tough game. He's glad to get over the winning line.
Yeah, and it was. You know, it's an epitome of tough, that game, wasn't it? There was a biting crosswind. Neither side could really get to grips with the handling side of things. They were reliant on the kicking games, and to be honest, with that sort of wind, you couldn't really get a kicking game going, could you?
No, about that, because we're that close to the Mersey, any harder at being in the Mersey.
That's true as well, yeah.
Okay, then, West Bank Bears are in the second round of the Challenge Cup. We're going to be there with them. They're our club. I wonder how far they can go. Oh, how far can they go? They're in the second round, Parky. Who do you got?
I'll just continue with the... Because we have the... Ooh. Well, actually, it's another home tie for us. So
yes.
It's good. I can come
That's
round
not,
to...
That bad, isn't it?
I can come round to yours for a cup of tea
not
before we set
off. Not much of a road
off.
To Wembley, though, because last year we didn't get that far as well.
Well, interestingly enough as well, it's against the club which you followed last year.
You did,
because
yeah.
West Bank Birds are actually taking on Rochdale Mayfield.
Ah, that okay. So that'd be interesting to see how the Mayfield boys go against Widnes West Bank.
Yeah, well, in the last round, they had quite a resounding victory over the British
Matt
police.
Matt Callan they were playing.
I don't know.
So he's retired, but he might come out. You never know.
Well, there's a lot of players who are getting back on the feet, isn't there, and getting back into playing. Anyway, the rest of the draw for the Challenge Cup round two, it's Hunslet Warriors against West Hull, Wathbro Hornets take on Lock Lane, Hull Dockers are against Walney Central, Kells are against Nottingham Outlaws or Blackbrook, Elland take on Egremont Rangers, Valley Cougars travel to Ulton Raiders, we've already mentioned West Bank Burs hosting Rochdale Mayfield, Siddle have got a plum tie against either Featherstone Lions or Queens, Normanton Knights there at home to Shawcross or York Acorn, and finally the Royal Navy have to travel up to Skirla.
And for the winners, it's all about taking on the pros in round three.
It will be, yes.
You've been listening to the Final Hooter with Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson, only on Radio General, Hospital Radio for Warrington, and loverugbyleague.com.